Sorry. I'm bringing a weird energy to this today.
Kristen just asked me before we press record if we could just not.
Can we just pretend?
Can we just not do this one?
Just pretend that we don't have to talk about this episode?
Yeah.
There's like three things that I'm kind of okay with in this episode.
Yeah. Hello and welcome back to another Buffy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are going to geek out about Angel. Today's episode is season 2, episode 8, The Shroud, or just Shroud of Ramon. Shroud. There is no the. This episode.
I hate it.
I don't hate it as much as you. I don't care for it.
There's like almost nothing redeeming about this episode. And like, I love heists. Yeah. Like, I love heist movies. I love heist episodes of TV shows. This is like not even a good heist episode of a TV show. It's like, it's not a good heist. None of the other characters are like interesting or likable in any capacity.
No.
It's
funny too, because when I wrote my notes for when they went in, I started to write "In the Ocean's 11 Begin" and then I deleted it. I was like, no, this is nowhere near that. Like, it's not
even a little.
It's not quality. Like, it's just, they just go into the building and break in. Like, it's very, let's do it by the numbers. And obviously, yeah, it's because the tension is like the Shroud. And so, but that's where I'm like, I completely agree. I feel like they should have really focused on like, and it'd be cool to have us care about these quirky characters, even though they're evil. They could be like what we talked about. They could be demons that aren't necessarily like ripping off people's heads willy-nilly. Yeah. It could just be interesting demons who are trying to do a bank heist.
The Shroud
makes us like, oh no, what's happening?
Yeah, I think the biggest missed opportunity is that this is not a like an Angel Investigations heist. Like, yeah, why are there three other demons involved? Why is this not just they have to go steal this from a museum in order to keep it out of the hands of Wolfram and Hart? And in doing so, the Shroud makes them all confront their like worst thoughts about each other or something. Already it's better and I haven't fleshed out anything.
I would have loved that. That would be
great.
And
then you can still have the Kate stuff, which is like shockingly some of the best stuff in this episode is the stuff with Kate. And I don't know, it just is, so it feels like a real missed opportunity and like not the direction that it should have gone at all.
Yeah, they could have done a lot of cool stuff with this. I don't even know like what their, like, was this just a filler episode? They were just like, they need a thing. And, you know, there's tension in the gang because we're about to have major tension. I was like, I feel like, you know,
yeah, but like,
that.
Like, that's the thing, too, is this episode could just disappear. And because like this, the Kate stuff that I'm even interested in doesn't really have any bearing going forward. Like, Kate isn't just all of a sudden like cool with Angel now.
Yeah.
So it just like literally none of it matters. And It's just really confusing why, like, because we don't need any extra tension. We have enough tension within Angel Investigations to warrant the stuff that's like about to happen.
Right.
So I think that's sort of what doesn't make sense, is like, we don't need this weird interaction with three strange demons in order to add more tension to the group. Like, that's not what we're missing right now.
Well, and the episode starts with the tension of, like, them talking about the Darla aspect of it. I'm like, we already have, what are you doing?
We know this, yeah.
Have you seen Angel? I thought we might check on him. He doesn't seem to be doing much with his time lately.
Oh, contraire. His day is packed. Brood about Darla. Brood about Darla. Lunch, followed by a little Darla brooding.
But we open on the cops talking mysteriously about something that happened, and you're left to wonder what's going on. And Wesley's head is buried, so you don't know who's at the table. It's funny because I really like Alexis Denisoff's performance here. Like, at first, it's very melodramatic when he slams the table and he's like, "He shouldn't have gone in there."
Do yourself a favor.
She shouldn't have been there.
She didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, so
okay.
But then he like mellows out, and he the way he delivers his lines methodically and quietly, yeah, and just like a little crazy, where you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I almost kind of want the whole episode to be told from, like, if it was the Angel Investigations and Wesley's, yeah, telling it from his perspective of, like, and we keep coming back to him breaking, sure, it down.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That'd be really interesting.
Because that's the other thing, too. It's like that is kind of the framing device of this episode, is that we are hearing all of this from Wesley, but there are huge swaths of this heist that he was not present for. So how the hell does he know any of this in order, right, to tell the cops? So it's not truly, like, they're not truly like filling in that framing device,
yeah,
which is also very frustrating.
Yeah, they're just like, here's a cool open, and then here's the rest of the episode, and we'll maybe, yeah, come back to that later. And then we see a flash of Angel feeding off of someone, and then it cuts to credits. And then we see Cordelia's hair, which is
okay,
not good.
It's better later in the episode. Like, but
yeah, I think they purposefully made it look like she had a bowling ball on her head just for the shock factor.
Okay. Have you ever watched Happy Endings?
No.
Okay. Hold on. Whenever this episode happens, this is what Cordelia's hair reminds me of. And it's, they like make these like wig helmets.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm just like, every
That's
single
exactly
time.
Exactly what it looks like.
I'm like, why is Cordelia all of a sudden in that episode of Happy Endings where Alex makes Penny a helmet with hair on top?
Yeah.
It's just so like blown up and teased. Yeah. And like, it's not a terrible cut on her. And we get worse hair on Cordelia as, mm-hmm, we go. It like, I get it. I like read stuff and stuff. Charisma Carpenter's hair was like really damaged from all of the like treatments they were doing to it every day filming and stuff. And so she also, because this was post Felicity, I think she had to ask permission to cut her hair. And so like, I get it. And it also like, this was still like a really dicey time in women's hair, but like, ugh.
It was, yeah,
it's not good.
It's not what I do like about it is the two things that I like about it. One, obviously the comedy that she's had her hair like that for a week.
Yeah.
And Wesley just didn't even notice, Wesley or Angel. But then I also like that Wesley picks up on the fact that she's insecure and is just like, no, it looks good. Like, and he sells it like he's good. Yeah. It's not it's not played for comedy. Like, he's not convincing. Like, he seems
correct.
He seems, yeah, to like actually ease her insecurity, because you can tell, yeah, she's very nervous about her hair. She's like got her shoulders up and petting it. Yeah. Like, what are you going to say? Which I think
but
is
it's
sweet.
I would say I don't even think he's just like being convincing. I think he actually thinks it looks good.
That's true, too.
Like,
yeah.
I think he's telling the truth. I don't, yeah, think he's.
That's
I don't
why
think
he's so convincing.
Yeah, I don't think he's just like acting well about it.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's very clear that she's insecure, which I think is interesting. And Wesley and Cordelia, something I noticed in this episode, specifically later when they're doing research, I love their chemistry so much, because they went from a weird love interest thing in Buffy, and none of that is here, because there, and I think we talked about it, there isn't any chemistry where you're like, yeah, I really want them to hook up.
Yeah, it's definitely not romantic. And I think, yeah, if I were to be, if you could only convince me that they were going to be in a relationship if like everyone else had died and they were the only two of
left.
The gang left,
yeah,
and they were just like seeking comfort. Like, I, yeah, would never be like, oh yeah, they're choosing each other on purpose.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I was sitting there thinking about it, watching them together. I was like, they have great chemistry. And then I was like, do I ship them? And then I was like, no, that wouldn't work at all. And I was like, I think I just like legitimate friendship them. Like,
yeah,
they're just such a great duo. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, it's just so good.
That's
and you
a
don't
thing.
Have to do any work. Like, they are just a
they
legitimate
just
friendship.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's like especially a thing that we talk about on like some of the like teen soaps that we watch, like Riverdale, and when,
yeah,
we were watching Teen Wolf and stuff like that. It's like, just because you think two actors and their characters have good chemistry together, that does not mean it's romantic. Like, it doesn't,
right,
have to be romantic. There are characters that I think are really great together that if they kissed, I think I would, like, it would be a jump scare.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't want them to interact. Like, sometimes,
yeah, yeah,
it's better to just, like, have them interact.
Yeah, you just want that. And then Cordy's jealous that he's going out because he's with Virginia, which they're still establishing. And then they're happy that Angel's getting out because Cordy tells Wes that Angel's, you know, doing something with Gunn. And then Wes invites her along for the ride. He's got an extra ticket, which is super sweet. Angel and Gunn talking to this guy. They learn about J-Don. And then Angel is telling Gunn not to do the job.
So you know this J-Don bloodsucker?
I know of him.
And?
He's a player, big on the nightlife and way too dangerous for you. I'll take it from here.
You're what?
Oh, yeah. And then we do get clarification in this scene that Gunn is a paid member of Angel Investigations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm telling you no because I pay you. Like,
yeah.
Because he was like, when did you get to make the decisions? He's like, when I paid you. Like, yeah, you're an employee
for sure.
Now.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
Also, he's going in, like, I understand Angel, like, Gunn is a good member of the, like, combat member of the team, but it is also, like, you're going into this unknown where there's potentially demons.
Yeah.
Let me just do this. I have superpowers.
Yeah, you also are, like, having to do subterfuge, which is, like, not Gunn's strong suit at
right.
this point. It's, like, he is very, like, in your face about how he's battling these things, and so having to go in and do spycraft around a bunch of demons who all you want to do is kill them is, like,
right.
maybe not the move.
Yeah. Angel's reading the room and Gunn wants to blow it up. Kate is just snooping in Angel's place, which is fucking
pretty
weird.
Illegal. Pretty yeah. illegal, too.
I remember it was like her walking in the shadows. I was like, wait, who is that? Is that Kate? Is she just like breaking in and we're just fine with this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those things that it's like, I sort of understand it because, like, in her mind, he's not a person, so he's not, like, afforded the rights of humans or whatever.
Right.
But it's also, like, no one Yikes. Else knows or believes that. So, like, if he were to call this in and, like, give your badge number and be like, she's walking around my place of residence without a warrant.
Right.
You'd get in huge trouble with internal affairs. Like,
I think it's one of those mutual destruction kind of things. She's like, you're not going to tell on me because you know I'm not going to tell on you. Like, neither of them would benefit from the other snitching. But then it's also that just shows how little respect she has for him.
Yeah, I also think she'd get in a lot more trouble even if she did rat on him because what is she going to say? He's a vampire? The other cops are not going to believe her.
Or not even rat on it, like set up for him to die, like
to just
know,
take the fall
like,
somehow.
Yeah, like she did with I'll put you in a cell facing the sun.
Sure.
And Buffy's like, what the fuck? Like she's I think they're both just like, and she's just unfortunately on the side of I'm showing you no respect, which is also just gross.
Annoying. This is not the Kate part of this episode that I enjoy, just
FYI. and then also she holds the cross up, Angel knocks it out of her hand, like, get that shit out of here.
I do think it's hilarious whenever people, like the humans, are holding crosses up to the vampires that we like know in this show. Because it's like, sure, if you manage to touch them with it, it will burn, but also he's fully clothed, so you have to either make him touch it or hit him in the face with it.
Right.
And you also have to, like, hold it to his face or it's not going to do any damage. And so it's like, you think he can't bat it away from you with his leather jacket-clad arms? Of course he can.
Yeah, like,
they just get real too safe feeling holding up the cross like that. Like, and I'm like,
now I have a protection field over me. I was like, no, you don't. and then Wes and Cordy arrive at the hotel, and Angel says,
what do you do? What happened?
It's not blood, it's cocktail sauce. Courtesy of Mr. Star Schmoozer here.
I mean, to your head. Your hair. Well, it looks great. When did this happen?
10 days ago. Pay attention.
And I laugh so hard. He's like, no, wait, I mean hair.
Oh,
it's
man.
So funny. And Wesley pretending like he's known all along is funny.
I love that.
And him calling Chow Yun Fat Mr. Fat Chow Chow. It's so funny.
He like, it's very clear that he has just like no knowledge of pop culture.
Right.
Like it's not... It's
even
by
Angel,
no fault of
even
his own,
Angel,
yeah.
who doesn't partake in pop culture, is like Chow Yun Fat. Like he's super excited about it.
You know that Angel watched Crouching Tiger.
Yeah, he's super into it. And then Cordy going over the top, being excited about Angel getting like back on the bandwagon of solving crimes, is adorable and hilarious.
Great plan, boss! What better way to get your mind off things we don't even need to...
I just love how over the top she's just like, yes! And then yeah. She's nervous because he's like in all black and has to be showy.
It is one of those times where it's like sort of like the what's his name from Baltimore? What's his name?
Herb Sanders.
Herb Sanders, Baltimore. I do think it's kind of funny, but I think that having it not be just one scene and having it be the whole episode is like maybe a little too much because he like never comes out of it and it's so annoying.
I disagree. I love it so much.
I shouldn't be surprised.
I love it so much. Also, so in the next scene, he finds Jadon and he kills him. This is super cool to me, is he takes the glasses as he's being dusted. Like, because it would, as we've seen, whatever you're wearing essentially gets dusted, and unless it's, you know, a plot device.
Yeah.
but I love that he, like, takes the glasses as he's being, it's the coolest thing where he's like, oh, you take those? And then I just wrote in all caps, Angel as Jadon is one of my favorite things ever. Like, it is.
Okay.
It's just like, hey! And it's just like so over the top.
It's just like,
it's such
a
cartoon character.
I've mentioned it before because they do like a lot of undercover work on Bones. So he does stuff like that on Bones. But for some reason on Bones, it works better for me than it does here. It feels like a costume.
Yeah.
Like here, and maybe that's because it's Angel doing it, but I don't know. It's my favorite.
He's such a broody mess that you're like, what is this?
This is not working.
How
for
are you able to uphold this? And then they go back to the place. The other demon's very tired of him instantly. The other demon is Kristen.
Yeah.
It's just put Kristen there, like, get in the fucking car. Shut up. And then Angel tries to get Gunn out of there, and they point guns at him and say no. Wes and Cordy doing research. This is where I noticed, like, really great chemistry. I just love how good they work together. And then,
it also still is, like, a little bickery, though, because he's like, you have to click on this. And he's like, there. And she's like, I see it. Dude,
yeah, calm
like,
down.
Please.
I think that's what it is, because they click so well, but it's very brother-sister.
I was going to say siblings, yeah.
Yeah, I love it so much. And then instead of Ocean's 11 begins, I just wrote the break-in begins, because it's lazy.
It's
the
such
cops,
a bad heist, and it's also like Angel and Gunn are both there so last minute, like there was no preparation or planning.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
And then the cops show Kate a picture of Angel with the burglars. And she's like, yes, I'm very interested. Shut up, Kate. Go away. And then they blow up the safe. The liquid that they're like putting in, and they're all nervous about it. I'm not invested at all. I'm like,
no,
it's not going to blow up. I'm not worried about this cat. You're also handling it so slowly. Like, I get, but it's in a thing. You could literally just like, bloop. It's not difficult. And then when Angel's like, I got it, and then lifts his foot slowly, I was like, this is the most awkward, horrible way to get that off your foot. You are making it more dangerous by doing that.
You're making it
dipshit.
Worse, dude.
Yes.
The only part I like about that scene is when Gunn is like, I don't want my parts to get all mixed up with yours.
You're
which is very funny.
Very funny. That demon is angry.
Yeah.
Wes reading about the Shroud of Ramon. Cordy calls out.
Why is it always virgin women who have to do the sacrificing?
For purity, I suppose.
This has nothing to do with purity. This is all about dominance, buddy. You can bet if someone ordered a male body part for religious sacrifice, the world would be atheist like that.
Okay, I have a couple things to say. The first one is, do you remember that episode of Friends where it was like season one or two where the girls are all like doing a weird spell that Phoebe brought them and they need the seed of a righteous man for it? And Monica is like, if we had that, we wouldn't be doing this. So like, what is your point? But also, I have actually a real problem with this scene in this episode specifically, because it kind of makes me feel like the episode She, where it's like this episode with this half-assed heist and no other real plot is not the moment to be getting into the subjugation of women through organized religion.
Yeah.
Like, and it's also like three sentences and then we're done. And Wesley doesn't even agree with her. I mean, I'm sure he does agree with her, but he doesn't even say anything in agreement.
Right.
They just breeze right past it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the point of bringing that up? It just feels like Joss patting himself on the back again for being like, I did a good job. Don't you see how I don't think that women should be subjugated by religion?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not enough.
I was literally just about to say, this screams Joss Whedon going, see, I'm a feminist. It's like,
it would be, I would even let it go more if it were Wesley who said it.
Yeah.
But like, but I don't know. It's so, and it's also like, cause I agree, obviously. It's the same thing as anything regarding women. If men had to be pregnant, you could get an abortion at a drive-thru, you know? And it's just like, none of this stuff is incorrect, but like just throwing it away like it's trash in the middle of this bad episode makes me furious.
Yes.
It's so annoying.
You're like, wait, but that we should dive into that.
We should really dive into that. Because it's also like that could have been thrown into the episode where Virginia's dad was trying to sacrifice her. And no, that's not where it was. It's in this nothing episode.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating to me.
It is. That's a good point. Now I'm going to be annoyed every time I watch this episode.
I'm going to probably start skipping this episode in my future rewatches.
I mean, it's not great. It's not and it doesn't take anything anywhere.
No. And I was sitting up there watching it with Rachel today. And we had already watched it because we're past this with me making her watch it. And I was like, she was like, have I seen this episode? And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, you hated it, too. And then we got to like a certain point and she goes, oh, this episode, I did hate this one. So I was like, yeah.
Yep. There it is. And then the shroud starts to work its magic. Wes and Cordy come in and they get loopy, which they don't really clarify by the end of the episode why.
No.
Wes and Cordy are like on drugs because of the shroud.
Because it's not impacting them in the same way that it's like even impacting Gunn. And which I would argue that's because he's also human. Like the three of them are human and it would affect the demons differently. But it's like even Gunn is like very aggressive and antagonistic in this episode.
I wonder if it's because Gunn was already aggressive and antagonistic in like this whole episode. He and Angel have been at each other's
butting heads.
And
maybe.
So this just kind of like unlocked it further. Like it releases ambitions.
Talk about that. Like they don't talk about why it's different, which makes it bad writing.
Yeah, that's where I was annoyed. As when they got loopy, I was like, this would be great if they could explain why they're loopy, but they don't. Like it's really bad writing because you're just you didn't clarify that this was a possibility and you don't clarify later why it happened and nobody addresses it.
And the other thing too is like, this is what I'm about to say is not something I want because they've already done that. And so I don't want, and we've gotten past it, so I don't want more of it. But like they could have had Wesley and Cordelia at each other's throats, you know, like we've done that. We know that dynamic works. And that would have been like okay too, and they still split up and everything. But I don't know; it just doesn't. It's not very good.
It's not. And then Gunn drops the box because he's mad at Angel. Angel threatens Gunn. Gunn pulls out a stake. It's like Jesus Christ. And then we cut to the cop who wants to be tied up and beat up, and his head is ripped off.
Yeah.
This cop, when he starts being all hyped up on like, you gotta hit me, you gotta hit me, reminds me a lot of the bellhop from episode 2.
Look, somebody's gotta hit me. Come on, man, you gotta hit me. Do it. Come on, make it real.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he's just got that vibe where it's just like, you sadistic little dipshit. Like, you are messing with...
Is he a cop cop or is he like museum security?
I think he's museum security, so the big demon rips his head off. And then Kate shows up. She nearly kills Wes and doesn't give a fuck. Like, she shoots her gun and then she's like, where's Angel? I'm like, excuse me, you just shot a gun at an innocent civilian.
She's like constantly, like, that's all she does.
Yeah.
It's just like shoot randomly. I tell you what, too. I'm going on a lot of tangents today because I want to talk about like anything else besides this episode. But so my husband and I have been watching like crappy 90s movies that I never saw that he likes. And so we watched Point Break over the weekend because I had never seen it. And there's one point where Keanu Reeves is chasing Patrick Swayze like down the LA River and everything. And the he like loses him because he like gets away and he just like falls down. Trevor's miming it. He like falls down, rolls over on his back and empties his clip into the air.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
It is one of the most iconic like action movie moments ever. Did you ever watch Hot Fuzz?
No, that's one of the Simon Pegg ones I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's great. There's a whole bit where Nick Frost is like obsessed with Bad Boys and Point Blank and everything.
Yeah.
And he does that in the movie where he's just like, I can't. Ah! It's so funny. I love it so much.
We also watched Heat last night because I had never seen Heat. And they like are trying to catch the guys from their bank heist towards the end of the movie. And literally every single person, even all of the cops, has a machine gun.
Yeah, it's
just like firing into downtown Los Angeles indiscriminately around civilians, just fully everywhere. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So that's what Kate reminds me of, is all of those irresponsible cops from 90s action movies.
That is so great. And then Angel and Gunn are getting too affected. And then Angel runs over and Kate shows up. She's got the gun and Angel turns into like a predator essentially and like runs at her and bites her. And then this also, I think, serves as a wake-up call for Kate. Like you are incapable of stopping.
Yeah.
Like obviously there's other things to learn and to grow and whatever. But this is an indicator of like your fucking cross and your gun and all your words are nothing. Angel will get on you in a second and he chooses not to because he's not this evil vampire you think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can get to you in a heartbeat. Like it's a good wake up call of like, no, don't fuck around because you will find out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I do think it's important that we note as well that like when Kate runs into Wesley, he is sort of like beside himself trying to be like, Angel has to know. I have to tell Angel about the shroud.
Yeah.
And he's sort of talking nonsense and Kate doesn't really understand, but he is like desperate to find Angel so that he can tell him to be careful.
That's why I'm here, to warn Angel about something important. Your hair.
You're here to warn Angel about my hair.
It's blonde.
And then the SWAT team shows up and they find Wesley hovering over Kate's body. And he's like really nervous. Like, I think part of him too was just like, I'm about to go to prison. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then Gunn, Angel, and the demons pull the case into the warehouse. And it's funny because it is a very good point where he's just like, we have to get it open. He's like, what the fuck? Why didn't we do it back? Why did we carry this heavy ass shit if you literally didn't care about it staying inside? They all start fighting over it. And so this is actually something that I think is interesting and world building. Not necessarily, not huge, but it is something like what you and I talked about. I think the reason Angel's able to fight this feeling that the shroud gives him and burn the shroud, because it has destroyed cities, like it's just completely overtakes everybody. I think the reason he's able to is because he spends every waking hour fighting it all the time. Like he's not naturally good. He is Angelus at the core. He is Liam at the core.
Yeah.
And he's constantly trying to be good. And so he's got so much practice in pushing down this thing, and that's what makes the next part of this arc really interesting, is watching him give in to it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Also, the way you just phrased that, I was like, he's always Angelus with a shitty Liam center. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, what's below the surface? And it's like, more garbage.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no good thing.
Yeah. Like, or rather, what's below the surface? Garbage. Okay,
right.
What's below that? Garbage.
Right.
Worse garbage.
Yeah. Like, he was complete garbage as a human.
Yeah.
And then he turned into a vampire.
Sadistic garbage.
Yeah, and he was sadistic garbage. Then he got a soul and was back to just being garbage, but felt bad about the things he did as a sadistic garbage. And
mopey
then,
garbage.
And then he still killed a bunch of innocent people, as we discovered with the episode with Darla. So he killed all them and then went
innocent. We're quote unquote.
I mean, scoundrels is what she said.
Scoundrels do not deserve death.
Yes. So the rapists and murderers, like 100%. That's aside. But yeah, scoundrels and thieves. I'm like, what? Who was it in Les Mis?
Jean Valjean.
Yeah, he killed Jean Valjean. So all of that to say, you know, Angel, I think, is pushing down this negative, which I think is an admirable feat. And I think this kind of demonstrates that, because outside of that, you're just like, how the fuck did he have like the ability to just push it down and set this thing on fire? It's like, oh, because he spent hundreds of years fighting this nature inside of him.
I agree.
And then Kate comes in. They're about to lock up Wes, and Kate comes in and says, let him go. And she remembers Angel saving her life. He tells her, like, play
Stay
dead
down.
Or they're going to kill you. And then Wes and Cordy talk about this as possibly reawakening his bloodlust. And then we see Angel thinking about the same memory as Kate. And he's like, I was very into that and almost killed her.
Okay. I have a couple things. Because the end of this Kate stuff is my favorite part of this episode. But also, before we get there, Cordelia does just steal, like, an indigenous necklace from the museum when she's all loopy and like walking around alone.
She's like, I was gonna take it back.
But I do really enjoy the Angel and Kate scenes at the end, because it's like you said, I think it does serve as a wake-up call for her to be like, oh shit, no matter how prepared I am, he can easily just kill me, like so fast, faster than I could even slow him down with a bullet. Like,
right.
I feel like even if he got shot in the head with a bullet, it wouldn't really stop him. So I do really love that. And then I also, because of the other thing you said, which is that Angel is constantly pushing down these urges, so he's like used to it and he can think more clearly, even though we see in his eyes at the one time that he is taken over by the shroud. I think that's the reason why he is able to stop feeding on Kate and like to tell her and like to have the presence of mind to be like, they'll kill you if you stand up. So like, just play dead and you'll live. I really, really like those moments a lot. And I think the thing that makes me the most upset is that they don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
she
just
doesn't,
in this episode.
Yeah, this is not a turn of heart for her. Like, she doesn't come to a different conclusion about him.
Yeah.
She just is, like, the same as she's been since her father died for the rest of the time she's on the show, which is, like, really frustrating. And then I think I would appreciate the final scene about him having bloodlust a little more if that also went anywhere.
But it doesn't,
because we never see him feed, like, within the next like chunk of episodes. We obviously see him feed on humans in the future, but we don't see him feed on humans while he goes down this dark path. So it hasn't awakened a bloodlust. It has maybe just awakened some nihilism, you know, which he already had heaps of. So that almost doesn't matter either. So I don't know. It's just, it's sort of akin for me to the episode with like the praying mantis babies, where it's like, wow, what an interesting notion to think about. But then we never think about it again.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. And I think, I don't know how I'd feel about him like tasting humans when he goes into the gray angel zone. But it definitely would be an interesting storyline of like, he's like fully going into this thing. I think it also... it also, for me, speaks to when he said to Cordelia a little while back, or he's like, he kind of zones in on the simplicity of being evil.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, everything was just clearer. And Cordelia's like, but you're not going to do that, right? Like, and because you could see him longing for it. And it makes sense as the viewer. Like, I can understand. You're just like, it's so much simpler when you don't have a conscience and like you can just do whatever you want. And then like him, I read it must be headcanon, because I read that squeezing the arm like that's just giving, like, as he was helping her, he was also giving in to the simplicity.
Sure.
And thinking about, like, how easy it is to just not worry about things. And
I mean, I totally think that's interesting, and I think that's like a fun way to go. And I do also think that if he were to start feeding on humans as he takes this downward path, that would make the redemption at the end of it more interesting, because it would be sort of like you fell off the wagon kind of a thing. But also, Wesley is like, he fed on a human, he hasn't, which is something he hasn't done in a very long time. And I was like, bitch, it's been like 2.5 years since he was Angelus. That is not a very long time.
Right.
That's like a medium amount of time.
It's actually been like 1 year because he fed on Buffy.
Oh, fair. Yeah. With Slayer blood. Even like more hardcore.
Yeah.
So like what this retconning that we're doing in this episode, I'm
it's
like, I don't know.
So long.
So long. I don't know, like 1.5 years maybe. Yeah. And I'm just sort of like, I don't really know what you're hoping to accomplish here, but like, I have the receipts.
Yeah, I saw what he did. But yeah, that's this episode that we chiseled out 36 minutes. Talked about some action movies and
it's perfect. I also, he made me watch, what's it called? Under Siege.
Oh my God, with Steven Seagal?
It was Steven Seagal. I didn't love it.
Those are products of their time. Those are at the time, sure. I was just like, yeah, it's another Steven Seagal movie. And now I'm like, I don't want to rewatch that.
We watched another one with Kurt Russell and, what was it? We've been doing it for like the last few weeks. We've just been like putting stuff on, and it's been really fun.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed it. I don't know. Will's letterbox is all weird. Regardless, it's been fun. I've been catching up on 90s action movies I haven't seen. Whole list he wants me to keep watching. So.
Oh, I love that. That's really fun.
I'm trying to make him do tradesies with me so that I can like get him to watch some stuff he's never seen.
What are you going to get him to watch?
Well, last night we were talking about that movie America's Sweethearts. Did you ever see that one with John Cusack and Julia Roberts and Catherine Zeta-Jones?
I
fucking love that movie
much. That's a great one,
So, and I think it's like he likes rom-coms sometimes, but I think that's one he'd really like because it's like weird.
Yeah.
It's like really weird. So.
That's cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Trevor Carley.
And I'm with my other show at So I'm Watching, or my personal account at FiddleDD85.
And as always, do the things, and we will see you next week.
Bye.